Today we are looking at the 13th chapter of Isaiah. And, you know, we're living in a time when there seems to be a lot of fear in the hearts of men over what's happening in the world. And a lot of the people in the United States are starting to become fearful because they see what's happening on so many different fronts, especially with what's gone on in Iraq with the war over there. We didn't just go over there and have a 30-day war or something. Now it's been years, and we've had over 3,000 deaths, more deaths than in the 9/11. And we're seeing that it's going to continue. Now there's talk about putting an additional 20,000 troops over there. We also have thousands of troops in Afghanistan. And we have troops stationed in points all over the world. We have troops, stationed in different points. And so we look at China that is just absolutely economically thriving more than even the United States, and the growth and it's exporting billions if not trillions of dollars of goods within the United States, and our deficit, our export, we're just not even close to being balanced in our exports with our imports. And so we are Babylon, though. I mean, the United States is modern-day Babylon. China would be likened to Babylon. They're worshiping other gods. They're certainly not worshiping Jesus Christ. But these nations that have forsaken God for the gods of this world can be likened to Babylon. The United States has been known for centuries now to be the world power, the world dominant power. We saw the Cold War supposedly subside during the Reagan eras, but then we found that other nations began to become more economically a presence throughout the world, like China. But how does that, all of these situations, what is the answer? Let's go to God's Word and see what happens to these Babylonish nations that God deals with in His sovereignty, and how He sees them when they forsake Him and they live in open rebellion against His word. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Lift up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the hosts of the battle. They came from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of His indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chased roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee, every one into his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young man to pieces. They shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent thereof, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But the wild beast of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and the owls shall dwell there, and the satyrs which shall dance there. And the wild beast of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and the dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her times to near is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Pretty sad prophecy here by Isaiah. The point that I want to make here is that God is the one that's proclaiming that he's going to do all of this. He's the one that is threatening to destroy the evil nation of Babylon because of their utter disregard for him and his word. And today, if someone says something to this effect, that God is going to bring judgment upon America for her sins, and there's many ways that God will bring judgment through the storm and through the rain and through the winds and through also through secondary causes like the war in Iraq, people get all upset. You know, people, God would, I remember T.D. Jakes, when 9/11 happened, some of the ministers said this is partially a judgment of God upon this nation. And I remember T.D. Jakes saying, "My God, the God I serve would never do that." Well, you know, he needs to read his Bible, because the God that I serve has done it over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament. When a nation becomes so debauched, when a nation puts their approval upon immorality and adultery and fornication and homosexuality and idols, idolatry, God is a jealous God. And he says that in the sixth verse, it says, "How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." From the Almighty. It's not, you know, God can even take an evil nation, an evil leader like Saddam Hussein, raise that leader up to come against America and have, you know, we see that God is able to bring that leader down like he brought Saddam down. Saddam was recently executed along with his half-brothers or whatever. He will bring that leader down, but at the same time, look how many of our boys have been brought down. 3,000 of our boys have been brought down. And people are singing, God bless America, but God is not blessing this nation. God does not put his approval upon a nation that says it's okay to be gay. God does not put his approval upon a nation where over 50% of all of the marriages are in divorce and remarrying. God doesn't put his approval on that. So it says here in the sixth verse that for the day of the Lord is at hand, it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. And he says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I serve a God of love. The God I serve is only a God of love. He's not a God of wrath. Well, you're not serving the God of the Bible then. Because the God of the Bible, it's very clear the God of the Bible is a God of wrath and a fierce anger to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. And Isaiah sets forth the fact that God is over the stars of the heaven and the constellations and the sun and the moon, and he will affect what's going on in this universe when he sees the absolute rebellion of a people against him and against his law and against his word. He says in the 11th verse, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And how's he going to do this? How is God going to punish the world for their evil? Well, we see he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He rained down fire and brimstone from heaven upon it. The 13th verse, he says, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. And so, also he, for those who are in this proud, arrogant state, he says that their children shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes, and their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. He foretells the fact in intimate detail, intricate detail, what is going to happen to their families because of their going after other gods, because of their buying into a wicked, evil educational system that promotes from the earliest ages, from grade school all the way through high school, that it's okay to be gay, it's okay to be sexually active, that it's okay to participate in all kind of fornication and experimentation and sexuality. And God says, no, it's not. And he says that because of this, and he even says here what he did. He says in Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be the same situation again. And he's going to leave these people's lands desolate because of their sin and because of their iniquity. There is a promise here to God's people who are following after him and keeping his commandments and proclaiming his word. The Lord will have mercy on Jacob. I'm in the 14th chapter now. and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. The Lord shall give them rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage. We see that God is always merciful to His people in a distinctive way. He sets them apart. He preserves them. Sometimes they have to go through great persecution as well. But God, even in the midst of their persecution, He is with them. He's with them through the whole ordeal. Some through the water, some through the blood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow. But we know that God is angry with the United States. He's angry with our leadership. He's angry with a president that places people in key leadership positions who are in your face, openly homosexual, and proud of it. They're proud of their sin. They flaunt it. And, you know, we now are, you know, in our military, we promoted this don't ask, don't tell policy. In our courts of our land, we promoted divorce with this incompatibility factor. We just grew apart. We have promoted idolatry in our nation through our sports, national sports, and going to the altar of the sports altar on Sundays, on the Sabbath, rather than worshiping God, going and bowing before our big screen TVs and watching sports rather than bowing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have taken on idolatrous behavior by buying $40,000-$50,000 SUVs and $50,000-$60,000 boats and $100,000 RVs and $300,000 homes to show, you know, look who I am. Look what God's done for me. God hasn't done that for you. Your own worshiping the God of materialism has caused you to become in bondage to those things. And that is the arrogancy of the proud that God is going to cause to cease. Lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And so God is not happy with America, and He's going to continue to pour out His wrath and His judgment upon us. You know, there's been other times when nations have actually turned back to God, and they've actually repented of their great sin. At least for a time, we see that Nineveh repented for a while, and then they turned back away from God again, and He ended up destroying them after a few years. But, you know, the thing of it is, you know, even those that say that they're Christians in this nation, they put all of their focus on prophecy and making up this Left Behind series and all of this stuff. And Christ said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given it but the sign of prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. You know, and so He basically says that, you know, we're gonna see as this day, as the times come to a conclusion, you know, people that want to say that, oh, things are going to get better and better, and, you know, God's going to rule in the earth and everything's going to be coming up roses, it's just in total contradistinction to the Bible. I mean, read the 24th chapter of Matthew, you know, because the disciples came to him and asked him, you know, what was going to be the sign of his coming, the end of the world. And Jesus told them, he says, many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. So many people are worshiping the Christ of free will today. It's just unbelievable how many people are denying God's sovereignty and salvation. I mean, you have Billy Graham that's just has a worldwide ministry proclaiming that false doctrine, a different Christ. And he says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So we see that it's not going to get peachy keen toward the end of the world. There's going to be persecution. The Christians are going to have to suffer. Revelation, it says, these are those that came out of great tribulation, washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And it says that there's going to rise false Christ, and false prophets show great signs and wonders, insomuch that it were possible that they would deceive even the very elect. I mean, it's going to get very, very bad for those that are living in the end times. And but you know what? It's nice to know that the elect is not going to be deceived. It's impossible for the elect to be deceived. If you're one of God's elect, you're not going to be deceived. He says, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth, heaven to the other. Okay. And so he's going to send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. He's going to gather us. If we're living in that day, that last time, he's going to gather us from one end of heaven to the other. And so, what's the lesson here for us? Well, the lesson is to continue in Christ, to continue in his word, to walk daily in his precepts, to seek him in his face, and to resist evil, and it will flee from you, and to not be a part of the world system. Don't become a part of the world system that says it's okay to be gay, or it's okay to get a divorce if you just grow apart. You become incompatible in your lifestyles. Don't endorse idolatrous behavior. Don't become a part of the I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns syndrome. You know, I want a bigger house. I want two SUVs. I want a plane, airplane. I want a $50,000 boat. I want this. I want that. I want this. I want an RV. I want, you know, our focus should not be upon things of this world. He says, if I go away, I will prepare a place for you and come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So our focus should be on heavenly things, not on things on this earth. And he said, Christ warned them. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of the needle than a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven. And disciples, who can be saved? He said, with God all things are possible. God is faithful to his elect. God was faithful to Abraham. God was faithful to Zacchaeus, who was a very rich man. God was faithful to him. God, and you notice that when God shows his grace to people like that, they're willing to give it all up. They're willing to say, hey, it's all dung. It's all... Paul was willing to give up all of his education, all of his rank, and count it all dung for the glory of Christ. Zacchaeus was willing to give it all up. Abraham chose the lower land and let Lot have the land over there by Sodom and Gomorrah. And what good did it do Lot? Sodom and Gomorrah ended up getting burned up anyway. All that land he went after didn't mean anything. And so the lesson for us is not to hold on tightly to these earthly things, because they're not going to mean anything. We want to live in our beautiful homes and drive our beautiful automobiles and make sure they're nice and clean before we go to church. Vacuum them out and make them look, wax them and shine them and make sure they're just as nice looking as everybody else's vehicle that's sitting there in that church parking lot. It kind of reminds me of a song that Ray Stevens used to sing, would Jesus wear a Rolex on his television show? If Jesus was down here today, would he be cruising around in an SUV or a helicopter, or would he be preaching in a mega church like the Crystal Cathedral? I don't think so. When he was down here, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He was born in a stable and laid in a manger, because there was no room for him in the end. What's the message to us? The message to us is, my kingdom is not of this world. It's very evident by his ministry when he was down here. He walked. He didn't have chariots. He didn't have expensive horses, stallions, or whatever to ride on. He walked pretty much. Every once in a while, he would take a boat across but he'd walk in his sandals. He'd walk the dusty earth and proclaim the word of God. We need to remember these things. And as we see Babylon, as we see America in its gross sins become more and more debauched, the angrier God will get, and the more devastation we're going to see, and the more judgment we're going to see, i.e. Sodom and Gomorrah. God's not going to put his blessing upon a nation that goes and defies his very word. He's not going to bless it. So we need to be ready for these things, and we need to trust and put our faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we pray that you would take this word and open the hearts of those who it was intended, and cause us to turn back to you and we be repentant of these gross sins against you and against your word. We ask in Christ's name.